Come on, Dre, you know what time it is. Crank up the music, man. It's time for some explosive off. Sports talk, people.
Explosive, you like that?
Let it just we got a power pack show tonight.
I love it, man. The time is
now. My time is now. You can't
beat
me. My time is now. It's the franchise.
Yeah.
You can't beat me. Sports with the club, man, is on the air. Love it. Welcome once again. Today is Wednesday, March 24th. And as Robert said, looking forward to an explosive Falcons sports itself, man, as mentioned.
It's going to be a fast Robert, 30 minutes, people.
Fast. We've got a lot of stuff to dive into. Obviously, you guys are Robert Ford. I am Andre Peterson. I'm going to set the table as always. For those who want to call into the show, just to give out the number, it is 424-243-9519. Don't forget, check us out. Twitter at 12thmansports.com and Facebook, all that fun stuff. Real quick, you know, the madness is here, and we're not talking about basketball, we're talking about Saints, Tebow, Peyton, a lot of things. So just real quick, as I set the table as always, what we're going to talk about, obviously the big ruling just went down, the Saints, the bounty thing, what's been going on with that. We'll talk about Peyton Manning to the Broncos and some NFL free agency, and I think something happened with Tim Tebow as well. We're going to try to recap the NCAA tournaments and preview our Sweet 16 matchups and also our Final Four predictions. Pack show. I think I'm just going to turn the show over to Rob and say, you know, this was a Robert Ford hour with the Saints. But wow, how do you feel as a Saints fan? Obviously not too good, but just kind of tell us your thoughts on what's going on. And obviously next year Roger Goodell is going to have to go to New Orleans in an armored car for the Super Bowl. But kind of tell us your thoughts on what's going on with the Saints and kind of a that ruling, if you will.
Wow. All I know is that the NFL has certainly rocked the Who Dat Nation today with this ruling. And, you know, it comes at, you know, of course we knew there was going to be some kind of punishment. I think a lot of people thought maybe the punishments come down a little bit too harsh. But, you know, the Saints definitely lack some institutional control here. And of course, there's some kind of penalty should be justified. I was a little bit shocked that Sean Payton was suspended for a full season. I was probably thinking somewhere between four games, somewhere in that ballpark, and maybe getting suspended. And Greg Williams getting an indefinite suspension. This is huge. And, you know, I know there's a lot of talk from a lot of different people around the league that, you know, this has been going on for years, and every club probably has some kind of form, but, you know, the Saints, they got caught, so they got to pay the penalty. And unfortunately for them, you know, unfortunately for the Saints and unfortunately for Saints fans, the Saints got caught, and obviously the NFL is going to make an example out of them. I saw a Joe Horn interview tonight, and I found it to be very interesting. And Joe Horn says, you know, the NFL is Roger Goodell. He just basically called him ridiculous. He says, I played with three NFL teams, the Kansas City Chiefs, the New Orleans Saints, and the Atlanta Falcons. And he said all three teams had a bounty system in place. And he said he's pretty sure that all 32 teams had a bounty system in place. And but, you know, unfortunately, like I said, the Saints got caught, and the NFL is going to make an example out of them. And they're just going to have to pay the price. So, you know, from my standpoint, Tom Benson as the owner, he's got to take control of the organization, and they got to put a plan in place ASAP. And, you know, speaking for Saints fans, we're not going to tolerate a losing season. And so he's got to figure out who's going to be the head coach, and let's go out and win some games next season. And wow. In a nutshell, that's what I have to say about that.
Wow, I figured it'd be short and sweet. You know, right now the Saints, I don't think they're gonna lose some scholarships or I can go to a couple bowl games. Nah, you know, I'm the jokester of the program too. I know it's kind of a serious situation too. So right now, you guys aren't really sure who the head coach is going to be. Is that kind of what I'm hearing from you? Is it kind of still up in the air, or do they have an idea of who's going to be coaching the Saints right now? Or
well, I mean, this is total speculation on my part. But my what I'm going to speculate here is that they're going to Steve Spagnuolo will probably be the interim head coach, and maybe they're going to hire somebody to come in and help him run the defense. He'll probably still call the defense, but I think he'll be the acting head coach at least for a season. And then we'll have to figure out if they're going to bring Sean Payton back after next season. And but that's just total speculation on my part. You know, there's always the possibility, you know, one blessing in disguise for the Saints is that Sean Payton got injured last season and Pete Carmichael took over the play calling. And the Saints' offense even seemed to be better with Carmichael calling the plays. And so one blessing in disguise for the Saints is that you still got Carmichael there that can call the plays. And Aaron Cromer is one of the better offensive line coaches in the league. You can have him be an offensive line coach slash acting head coach as well. So those are probably one of those three guys. I can't see them bringing in an outsider and to come in. I know there's some local talk. Maybe the Saints may call Bill Parcells to see if he's willing to come in for a year until Sean Payton is back. I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, I at this point I think that's just a rumor.
Is this going to affect anything with Drew Brees, you think, or is he still – I mean, obviously he's still going to sign with the Saints too, but do you think this is going to affect anything moving forward as far as contract talks or anything to that degree?
Well, I think from the Saints' standpoint, the Saints need a great PR move right now. So I think they need to get Drew Brees signed pretty quickly because obviously the Who Dat Nation needs some good news, and that will be good news for the Who Dat Nation right now. And so that would be, you know, a big plus for the Saints to go ahead and lock him. Drew Brees is going to be a Saint. And as long as you got Drew Brees, you got an opportunity to win a lot of games, regardless of who's the head coach. And so, I mean, they're going to have to get him signed and get him sealed. I mean, I know he tweeted today he was very upset about the suspension of Sean Payton, didn't think it was justified. But, you know, at this point, you know, it is what it is. The ruling has come down. The NFL hammer has come down. The Saints must move on.
Yeah, like I said, for the first time in NFL history, we've had a coach that's been suspended for a year. This is a pretty big. Greg Williams, who a lot of people have, Saints fans I know have pretty much have turned their back on and kind of said, yeah, this is the main guy. It's just kind of a just an amazing day. Not only for that, just everything that's going down too. And kind of as you mentioned too, I do believe that there's a lot of, you know, pretty much every team has some type of system in place. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, I'm not sure if bounty is the right word. I do think there's a lot of incentive programs out there for people to play well, make hard hits and stuff like that. I don't know if they're for specific players. I don't know the whole details about that, too. This is just me, you know, talking. But as mentioned, it just doesn't look good. And like I said, even as a Falcon fan, I mean, I don't want, you know, this penalty may have been severe, but, you know, like I said, unfortunately, the Saints have been made an example of, and it's not good in that aspect, too. But just kind of tough, man. So, you know, you don't want to kick nobody while they're down, obviously. It's just one of those, just an interesting scenario, too, man. So that's all I've got to say on that issue, too. So,
exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, at least it's, you know, at least the, you know, at least you're going to put a stop to this because this is obviously something that's been going on in the NFL since the 70s. And, you know, and at least, you know, this ruling is going to put a stop to that that kind of behavior. And you just got to wonder if the NFL is going to lose some of its physicality with these kind of rulings. That's the... And, you know, these kind of things start at Little League with the stickers on the helmets and things of that nature for big plays. And, you know, and it goes all the way up to the pro level. You know, little kids get stickers on the helmets for big hits. And, you know, ESPN does the segment Jacked Up for big hits. And so, you know, these people watch these kind of programs. And so, I mean... These players are taught at a young age to be leveling these kind of hits. I mean, I thought Roddy White, I don't know if you heard his comments, and Roddy White says, hey, when the Saints and the Falcons get together, we both trying to knock each other's heads off. That's just part of the game. And, you know, and so you just wonder, you know, how much of the, you know, how much of the game is going to be lost, you know, with these kind of rulings.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, just to reiterate, you know, obviously you don't want to take anything away from good, clean football, hard football, aggressive football, physical football. That's fine. You know, like I said, I think the problem comes in is whenever, like you said, it's just, you know, that word bouncy and just the fact that you know somebody, like you said, whenever you're hitting someone, you don't want to knock somebody out and kind of end their career or knock them out of their livelihood.
Exactly.
We talked about last week, you know, if you know, you want to protect certain players because, like you said, if you know, Tom Brady gets hurt, Peyton Manning gets knocked out, the league is going to suffer. So, you know, I think you have to protect players too, but you want to keep the game.
No doubt about it.
You don't want folks getting speared. You don't want folks getting, you know, going after their knees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that, and I think that's where you want to, you got to protect the game, too. So that's kind of where I think, and like you said, there are some hits that you wonder, okay, that dude was clearly not, you know, not trying to make a good hit. He was just trying to, like, hurt the guy, and that's kind of where we want to get out of it. You want to get to the solid tackling,
exactly. Fundamental
stuff, and making sure that, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to, like, spear somebody or take somebody out, because we talked about before, you know, you got players that are, you know, they're a lot faster,
yeah. They're
a lot stronger. And there's, you know, they can do a lot more damage. So I think that's kind of where you have to kind of, there
exactly.
is that gray line. But like you said, you want to make sure that everyone's healthy and that everyone can walk away and we're not messing up anyone's livelihood. So, you know, that's
exactly.
just on too.
Two more comments on this and we can move on to NFL free agency. You know, really quick. One of the reasons, of course, the NFL dropped the hammer on the Saints try to cover this story up with lies as well. So there's definitely the Saints definitely deserves some kind of penalty for this. So I'm not trying to make a case that they don't deserve a penalty. I just thought the extent of the penalty maybe was excessive. But there's definitely a penalty. The Saints try to cover this up with lies. And so definitely, you know, there's some kind of penalty, you know, for that, as opposed to being forthcoming with it and maybe putting a stop to it, you know, as soon as possible. And then the second thing is, I don't know if you saw the study that the Wall Street Journal did. The Wall Street Journal went and looked at all of the Saints' games from the last 3 years, and the Saints' defense and special teams maybe had over 3,000 plays. Only 19 of those plays, over 3,000 plays where somebody got hurt. And there were a lot more teams that had other players that got hurt. So I guess the frustrating thing as a Saints fans, we didn't even have a fierce defense. to have some kind of system in place like this, I mean, the Saints did not have a defense that teams feared. And I guess that's the... As the Wall Street Journal says, hey, we didn't see any evidence of them trying to knock anybody out. Only 19 plays over 3,000, somebody got hurt. And the only play that comes to mind is Roman Harper hitting Steve Smith late last season. Now that was uncalled for, but that's the only play that comes to mind. I mean, you watch the Saints and the Falcons at least twice a year, and I promise you, you probably can't think of a play where you saw a cheap shot.
Well, I mean, that's definitely in the eyes of the beholder, man. I'm not going to, you know, everyone wants to protect a team, and I got to give you a lot of credit for being straight up and talking about this issue, Rob, because I know it can be tough being a fan. And, I mean, like I said, there's been some times where, and I just think it's just a rivalry, you know, if a certain team, you don't like certain you know, teams, you're going to, you know, play your hardest and, you know, you may get like an extra shot in there to try to, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm going to, you know, let you know that this is my house or vice versa. You're not going to out-physical me. You know, but like you said, you know, you made a couple good points. Another thing you got to remember, too, is that sometimes it's just the intent, too. And I think that's another thing, too. You know, just like I said, it doesn't look good with the word bounty. It doesn't look good, the threat about that, you know, and unfortunately you guys are getting like the full brunt of Rogerville and the NFL. So, like I said, you know, it is what it is. But real quick, I know we've been spending a lot of time on that. It's a very passionate subject. You know, obviously strikes a chord with Rob being a Saints fan and a lot of the Saints Nation, Who Dat Nation. For those who want to call in, I got to give the number real quick. It's 424-243-9519. I also want to tweet about that. Don't forget to tweet us at 12th Man Sports and also on Facebook as well. So we got a lot of things to talk about, too. Rob, we got a
Definitely like us on Facebook, people.
Yeah, like us and definitely give us your feedback because we definitely want to we definitely need that to make sure that we're talking about good subjects and that you guys are actually enjoying the conversation. But moving forward, as mentioned, we've got about 15 minutes in the show. A lot of news has been going on. If you were under a rock, once again, we're going to talk about Peyton Manning signing with the Jets. And this has been interesting because before, a couple of weeks ago, we didn't know that the Broncos were going to emerge as a team that was going to sign them. We had them going to Miami. A lot of different things have happened. And obviously, he signs with the Broncos. And because of that, obviously, Tim Tebow was traded. And kind of want to get your thoughts about the situation. And do you think it's a lot of pressure on Peyton now? Yeah, do you think it's a lot of pressure on Peyton now to win the Super Bowl? And I'm going to kind of switch it up because now you got a guy here that, their odds went up about going to the Super Bowl. Do you think that it's a lot of pressure on Peyton Manning to deliver that Super Bowl to the Denver Broncos?
Well, I think they're definitely bringing him in to win the Super Bowl. This was John Elway's sales pitch to Peyton Manning. John Elway won two Super Bowls at 37 and 38 years old. And he told Peyton Manning, you come to Denver and you can do the same thing. You're 35 now. You're turning 36. You can win two more Super Bowls, after 35 years old. He says, I did it. And that's what struck a chord with Peyton Manning. So John Elway came at him with that sales pitch. They talk the same language. They're both Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And so John Elway had the perfect sales pitch. Number two, Peyton Manning wanted no part of an NFC team. He eliminated Arizona. I know he kicked the tires with San Francisco a little bit. And obviously, if he would have went to San Francisco, that would have been his best chance of getting to the Super Bowl. But he wanted no part of the NFC. Didn't want to be in the same conference with Eli Manning. And so with him talking the same language as John Elway, Miami traded Brandon Marshall. I mean, they got rid of a weapon there. And so Denver definitely became the favorite. I know there was some talk maybe he may go to Tennessee because his wife is from there and he went to college there. But the bottom line is he and John Elway just spoke the same language, and that was the selling point for him going to Denver. Now, Denver, of course, could use a few more pieces. They got a solid offensive line. They got a good left tackle, Ryan Clady. Got Willis McGahee. They can get Sean Marino healthy. Demaryius Thomas. But they did lose Eddie Royal to San Diego. They get another piece or two. I hear they may look at bringing in Dallas Clark, Peyton Manning's former teammate in Indianapolis, to give him some familiarity. And and the AFC West is a weak division. So, Denver won that division with only 8 wins last season. I mean, I got to at least think that they're going to win at least 10 to 11 games with a healthy Peyton Manning, which will give them at least a chance of making a run at a Super Bowl. Tim Tebow to the Jets. I mean, the Jets are coming out saying that Sanchez is clearly still the starter. But you got to realize who the Jets just hired as the new offensive coordinator, Tony Sperano, who was the first coach to introduce the option offense in the NFL.
I'm going to say Tony Sperano. Yeah, Tony, that's the guy. Yep.
Sperano, there you go. He introduced Sperano, the Wildcat in the NFL with Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams, and those guys. Now he's the offensive coordinator for the Jets. And now he's got the perfect quarterback for the Wildcat. I think you're going to see them play Sanchez, of course, but they're going to have their Wildcat plays for Tebow.
I think that's a mistake too, though. I don't know if you think I don't know what move that is. It's just one of those baffling, mind blowing moves. I don't know what you think about that too, but you're taking away from Sanchez, I think, but I'll let you finish your commentary on that. Yeah. That's just me.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think this move right here is, I think Sanchez's confidence was already rattled. And I think when you're going out and getting in Tebow, I think you're going to hurt his confidence even more. And so in one sense, it's a good move because of the Sperano connection and the Wildcat offense. But on another sense, you're going to take away some of Mark Sanchez's confidence. And somebody's going to have to, you know, get into Sanchez's grill and have him to come in with a nasty, competitive attitude, you know, and come ready to play some football. Otherwise, Tebow, I mean, Tebow's a great leader, a great locker room guy. I mean, he can come in there and win that locker room. So Sanchez has got to be strong-willed and come ready to play. And so that's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. You know, a lot of people saying, well, you know, the Jets just re-signed Mark Sanchez an extension. But basically, that extension was just for salary cap relief. It wasn't a huge deal. If you really look at that contract very closely, it was mainly just for salary cap relief with the Jets. So it's basically the same amount of money, but the Jets got some salary cap relief in that deal. So if Sanchez doesn't perform, he can be out the door easily in a year or two.
You know, it's interesting, too, and you keep hearing some stories, too, that Jacksonville was involved in that, too, as far as they offered the same package and they were willing to pay $5 million in question for Tebow's contract too. So I'm curious as why you keep hearing that Tebow made a choice to stay with the Jets. So it's just a very baffling scenario about what's going on too. It's just I don't understand this move. Now you keep hearing, you know, I don't know if we're ever going to know the whole thing, but it's just doesn't make any sense, you know.
Well, a couple of things on the Tebow to Jacksonville front. You know, there was a contract issue with this. The Jets had to pick up $5 million of this contract with him coming, and Jacksonville wasn't willing to do that. Eventually, Denver and the Jets reached an agreement where they're going to split the $5 million, where Denver's going to pick up 2.5, the Jets are going to pick up 2.5. I think that was one of the issues, Jacksonville. But Jacksonville is a franchise that could have used the boost and attendance from Tim Tebow. He's loved down there in Florida. I mean, they're a franchise that have struggled. They struggle selling tickets. So they could have used the boost from Tebow. But realistically, Mike Mularkey wanted no part of Tim Tebow in his offense. I mean, he wants to run that West Coast-style offense. He wants to try to develop Blaine Gabbert. They picked up Chad Henne already as a backup quarterback. And bringing Tebow down there would have been, you know, three's a crowd at the quarterback position down there. And although it would have been a joke to their franchise as far as season tickets, you know, concerned. So I was kind of hoping he would have went somewhere like Jacksonville. But as far as playing, getting with a guy like Sperano might be his best opportunity.
Wow, we're wrapping up on this point, too. Like I said, I remember a couple weeks ago, Robert said that Tebow would be the quarterback for Denver. So we have been, you know. We've
sometimes
been
I got to eat a little crow.
I'm not saying you're eating crow because, you know, we never know what is going to happen. You did predict that Alex Smith is going to go back to San Francisco.
I was right on that.
We don't know if he's going to be starting quarterback just yet. Right now, it looks like you said that, but you know, we'll
he's going to be the starting quarterback in San Fran. 3 years, $24 million. I told y'all once before, San Francisco fans, he's going to be the starting quarterback.
Here we go. Robert can be wrong, dude. It's all good. But just we've got about 6 minutes to go. And as always, for those, I'm going to give the number one more time, 424-243-9519. For those that want to listen in afterwards, we have something called the OT, the overtime session. You can always listen online and kind of give our little thoughts, too, because we'll have about another 15 minutes or so to kind of kick around some topics, too. But, Rob, I guess if it's okay, you want to kind of transition into NCAA the last couple minutes on the show, if you will, anything you want to
add? Yeah, let's kind of – I know we had some other big football news to get to, but, you know, if you join us for the OT, Matt Flynn going to Seattle, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis to Cincinnati, you know, just some big – Ron Landry going to the Jets. So, definitely, if you can tune in, join us. Mario Williams, we didn't get to cover that as well.
Signed by the Bills. A great move. Yeah, that was a big move.
And Mark Anderson. I mean, they might have one of the better defensive lines in the league next season. So that would be interesting to watch. So, yeah, if you can tune in, join us for the final 15 minutes in the OT. But real quick, while we're live here for another 5 minutes or so, let's kind of recap the March Madness here and kind of preview this coming up games for this weekend here. I thought the two most impressive teams this past weekend were Kentucky and North Carolina. And those are two teams I predicted for the national championship. But unfortunately for North Carolina, they just lost the keys to the engine, possibly, with Kendu Marshall. You know, even though he broke his wrist on his non-shooting hand, it's going to be interesting. I don't think North Carolina can win a national championship without him. If he can somehow play, I mean, they'll have a shot. But at this point, we just don't know. I think they'll beat Ohio this Friday night, but I cannot see them beating Kansas or NC State if they don't have Kendu Marshall. So as a result of the uncertainty, even though I picked Carolina to win it all, but as a result of this injury, I'm going to pick Kansas to come out of the Midwest now. And out of the East, I'm going to go with Ohio State. I initially picked Florida State, but they eliminated. I still don't think Syracuse can go without Fab Melo. And so I'm going to take Ohio State out of the East. In the West, I think you and I both picked Missouri, and they're going. So I'm going with Michigan State over Florida.
I like Missouri. I picked Marquette initially, so I'm still going with Marquette.
I think Florida is going to beat Marquette tomorrow night. And
We'll see about that one.
And I think Michigan State will play Florida in the West Regional Final, and Michigan State will advance. And right now, I have to say Kentucky is the favorite to win it all. I mean, that's just I think Kentucky and Carolina are the two most talented teams. But like I said, Carolina just took a major blow. They already had some major injuries at point guard position, at the backup position. So just one position that they just cannot afford to lose anybody. And like I said, I think they can get past Ohio without Marshall. But getting past the next game is going to be tough. Right now, I would have to change my national championship favorite to Kentucky right now. I don't know what your thoughts on that is.
It's going to be tough. I was talking to some good friends of mine, too, and Kentucky is pretty talented. They got a young team, and you hope that the talent can outweigh that, because a couple of things that somebody brought to my attention was that a lot of the younger teams do tend to fold under pressure, and just because of just making mistakes, and if you run into a more experienced team, it can kind of get to you. So, obviously I'm still kind of leaning towards them to win it all too, but it's just, something to consider whether they run into a Michigan State team or a more veteran team that could give them some challenges. But like you said, whatever happens, it definitely changes the dynamic. Obviously with, like you said, with Kendu Marshall going down, I think you guys are going to go with, who you're going to go with, Stillman White or Justin Watts, or kind of what I hear on the front as far as Christmas to you guys, but that's still definitely a big blow for you guys too. But we'll see how that plays out.
Just the thought of that is very scary for Carolina to have to play with Stillman White.
Oh, he's a freshman guy too. Yeah. So Robert's not co-signing on that. We're in the 2-minute warning, Rob. Real quick. So I guess as we start wrapping up, we talked about Final Four predictions, and like I said, let's go ahead and set the table too for next week. And I don't think anything can beat what happened as far as the news that's been going down, too. But hopefully next week we'll get into deep as far as jumping into the Elite Eight. We'll continue to talk about some free agency moves. We didn't get a chance to talk about Robert Griffin III's Pro Day, but we can cover. Hopefully we can
next
recap
week.
That. And if we can talk about Stanford, too, as well. And I'll let you finish up, too, Robert, as well. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to get into a little bit more draft talk. I have my 3.0 mock draft, and so we can get into that a little bit on next week. And I'm sure we have more free agency news, even though it's starting to slow down just a little bit, but there will still be some signings. And, of course, this time next week, we'll know who the Final Four teams are, so we'll get to preview that on next week. So next week, tune in. We got Final Four, NFL free agency, NFL mock draft. Join us next week, people.
A lot of time, a lot of stuff that you want to jump into. Once again, thank you for tuning in. You guys on The Drill, we're here every Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 5. Is that Hawaii time? I don't know. But anyway,
5 p.m. Hawaii, I like
it. That's right. So there's a lot of love. Once again, don't forget to check us out. Tweet us at 12thmansports. And also don't forget to check us out on Facebook. All that fun stuff. For Robert Ford, I'm Andre. And don't forget, tune in to the OT. We can continue to talk about some stuff, some issues that we get a chance to talk about, and link us and all that fun stuff.
Good night, people.
tonight, people.
Woo! All right, it's time for the OT, OT, overtime,
right, OT.
People.
I love it, I love it. So a lot of things to talk about in OT. It's been fun. So what do you want to jump into, Rob? I mean, there's so many different issues. I don't know if you want to continue to talk about the ruling or what exactly happened or Peyton Manning or where do you want to kind of dive into as we jump into the full-time?
I kind of would. I mean, there's been a lot of free agency moves since our last show on last week, and I know we probably can't cover them all in our normal 30-minute show. So I think this OT format might be the perfect time to kind of, you know, I know some of these may not be that big, but then some of them are, maybe kind of address some of these signings. But before that, I kind of would like to jump into the Robert Griffin III, you know, his pro day today, which by all accounts, he was very impressive today. He was able to make all the throws very accurately. And there's several reports out that the Washington Redskins came away from today's pro day thoroughly impressed with Robert Griffin III. And it looks like this may be the perfect Mike Shanahan kind of quarterback. You know, if you look historically, the kind of quarterbacks he's been successful with, John Elway, Jake Plummer, Jay Cutler, quarterbacks that can throw on a move, that can run those rollouts and sprint outs, and having some mobility and being accurate with the football. And there are even some scouts that seem to think that this kid may even be a little bit more accurate than Andrew Luck. So, he's not going to go before Luck in the draft, but it looks like the Washington Redskins seem to think that this kid has superstar potential written on him as well. And so it looked like he came away very impressive, and looked like he has solidified himself, entrenched as the number two pick in this draft.
Yeah, I agree too. I had a chance to catch some recaps on the NFL Network, and like you said, the ball just jumped out of his hands. And you know, everyone looks good in shorts, but this guy definitely has a lot of leadership skills. Definitely has good grasp of the offense, you can tell. And obviously, like I said, I mean, it's going to be, as you mentioned last week, there's going to be an adjustment to him going into the league. But, you know, like you said, Mike Shanahan's done everything he can to kind of add those pieces around him. You know, he's going to add the running game. They were good at running. They're going to add that piece, get him a couple more weapons. They've got Cooley. They got Fred Davis at tight end. They signed Pierre Garçon. And they're adding pieces, if you will, too. So, like you said, Robert Griffin III is gonna step into a great situation, and it's just up for him to kind of obviously work hard and make those next steps too. But very exciting. Like I said, I'm rooting for the guy to be successful. I mean, I just like to see guys like him do some good things, and just a positive guy too. So looking forward to it. You keep hearing a little bit about Andrew Luck, and the word of the truth is that, I mean, he may have the strongest arm, but but he's going to have an accurate arm too. So, you know, obviously he's got the intangibles you're looking for, and we didn't really talk about this earlier, but a couple things that we're thinking about, and I'm kind of jumping around, if you will, talking about Broncos and the Colts. It's interesting that both teams, you know, the Broncos, just a couple years ago, you had Jay Cutler, you traded Jay Cutler, you had a franchise quarterback, you traded him per Josh McDaniels, if you will. You got Tim Tebow. Now, a couple years ago, you get your franchise quarterback again in Peyton Manning. It's just amazing how the NFL works. And the same thing with the Colts. I mean, you had Peyton Manning, he's gone. Then you're going to get Andrew Luck, another franchise quarterback. So it's just certain teams, you can't make this stuff up as far as how things happen, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been very wild. And I still think the Colts make the right decision, though, as far as Andrew Luck is concerned. And I just didn't think you could justify them giving Peyton Manning the $28 million coming off this neck injury. And, yeah, I think he had an opportunity to get a guy like Andrew Luck who can be, you know, the quarterback for the next 15 years of your franchise. Whereas Peyton Manning, you know, even though I still think it's a great move for Denver, but I still think it was the right move for Indy. And just because there's just still a little bit of a question mark to give a guy $28 million guaranteed when you have an opportunity to get the best quarterback in the draft, who most people feel like is kind of Hall of Fame potential written all over him. So, you know, if Colts fans that may be out there listening, I still think your organization made the best decision for the future of the Colts. And, I mean, you have an opportunity to be set at quarterback for another 15 years. I mean, look how long Denver has been looking for the next John Elway for about 14 years now, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, franchises, I mean, the Colts have an opportunity to go from Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, you know, with only a one-year bad year in between the two quarterbacks. And so, I mean, that's unheard of to be able to find, you know, another Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, the Packers got lucky a little bit, going from Favre to Rodgers, but most franchises do not get that lucky.
And, yeah, I think it's kind of tough, too, though. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, I'm kind of 50-50 on that, too, because, you know, obviously, Denver thinks a lot of Gatons for him to do it. Just, you know, with all the turmoil that's been going on, I mean, it probably was a good move. But if you are the Colts, I mean, I'm sure, if maybe not this year, if you would have kept Peyton Manning, maybe he would have been there to kind of usher in the next guy, too. I mean, I'm sure no one wants to train their replacement, but, you know, I don't know. It's just interesting, too, to see what happens. I'm sure you're going to get a very motivated Peyton no matter what happens, too. But, you know, like you said, if everything is as we're looking at it, Andrew Luck should be the next guy, barring any injuries or vice versa. He should be the guy to kind of take him to the next level. And they're going to struggle for maybe a couple of years, but they'll definitely be right back in it. And, you know, like you said, it's just going to keep the train rolling. So it's just, like you said, that's just kind of how one team gets lucky one year and just ends up getting their franchise guy twice. So it's your assault, if you ask me, you know.
Mhm. Yeah, and, you know, I know we have about 10 minutes left here in the OT, or 9 minutes or so. Just some other free agency moves I'd like to highlight here really quick. You know,
Matt
today
Flynn.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, the law firm, going to Cincinnati, leaving New England. Looks like Cincinnati is not going to re-sign Cedric Benson. So Ben Jarvis Green Ellis have the opportunity to be the featured back there in Cincinnati. Playoff team. I know we talked about the 49ers a little bit with Alex Smith, but a couple other moves. I know in recent weeks we've talked about Randy Moss going to the 49ers. Another one that's kind of quiet for our 49er fans who may be listening, Mario Manningham signed a two-year deal going to San Francisco as well. And Jim Harbaugh there, the general manager, they are looking to put some weapons around Alex Smith there. Moss, Mario Manningham, you got Crabtree, Vernon Davis. They are a team, even with Alex Smith at quarterback, was a block punt away from making it to the Super Bowl last season. And so this is and they're putting some weapons on this team. So this is a team that has an opportunity to make a serious run next season, you know, if they're able to stay healthy. And so they're doing a pretty good job out there in San Francisco. And I think you were getting ready to comment on Matt Flynn in Seattle.
Yeah, real quick, before I get to Matt Flynn, I want to talk to you a little bit about all the moves that the 49ers have been making, too. And I think this is kind of a dangerous thing for Mallett Smith. And the reason why I say that is because I think that they're basically telling him, if you don't get it done, then there's going to be some moves going on. There's going to be some competition. Because if you have all these weapons and we can't get to the next level, then it's going to be kind of like a put-up-or-shut-up time for Alex Smith, too. So that's just me. From what I'm looking at it. But, you know, Alex Smith, don't get too comfortable with that contract, you know. So they're giving you all the pieces and saying, all right, sir, you've got Randy Moss, you've got Mario Manningham, you've got Crabtree, you've got a lot of guys, you've got Vernon Davis, you know. We've got the
foundation.
You've
got a solid offensive line, you got good running
backs,
too.
We've got an offensive line. So now if we don't get it done, you know, you got to look in the mirror and make that happen, too. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
But, yeah, talk about Matt Flynn, if you want to jump on this, too, but – you know, we're on the street, and this is definitely throwing the draft just kind of rearranging the whole order, too, which is why we're definitely looking forward to your 3.0 mock draft, Rob. But Pete Carroll said that, Matt Flynn has been brought in to add some competition for Tarash Jackson. That's just political talk. You know, he's going to come in, he's going to be the starter. That's what I think. So I don't know if you get your thoughts about the scenario, too. So you don't.
I totally agree. They want Matt Flynn to come in there and take over that franchise and be the starting quarterback. I mean, they gave him a 3-year, $26 million deal. I mean, that's even a little bit more than Alex Smith's gotten. Alex Smith got a 3-year, $24 million deal. Matt Flynn has only started 2 or 3 NFL games. And so you're paying this kid starter money. I mean, they didn't break the bank to sign him, but they gave him a nice contract. Say, hey, you come in here and prove yourself a couple of years, we'll reward you with a bigger contract. And, you know, Miami had interest in Flynn, but Seattle didn't let him get to Miami. And you got to give Pete Carroll and Seattle's organization a lot of credit for getting that deal done and getting a quarterback, I think, is, you know, on the verge of, you know, being a solid starter. And I thought Seattle was a very underrated team down the stretch last season, too. If they had better quarterback play, I think they could have even challenged San Fran in that NFC West. So I look for the NFC West to be a little bit more competitive next season with Seattle, San Fran. And I even think Jeff Fisher is going to, you know, come in, even with them losing Greg Williams, I think Jeff Fisher is going to come in there and, you know, ignite that Rams franchise a little bit, too, if they can keep Sam Bradford healthy. I think that'll become a little bit more competitive. A couple of years ago, that was a very weak division, but I think that's a division that's now clearly on the rise, and you're going to see it to be a lot more competitive.
You just wonder if Seattle has enough weapons around Matt Flynn, too, because, you know, obviously they have Marshawn Lynch, which is a great weapon. I'm not sure if they have a dynamic tight end, and please forgive me if I don't know enough about that roster, but, you know, obviously they got a nice young receiver. And I want to say Doug Baldwin is that name, if I'm saying that correctly. I'm thinking correctly,
yeah.
But
Sidney Rice as well. You know,
Sidney Rice,
you get
yeah.
a quarterback.
Okay.
You got
yeah.
Sidney Rice. They did lose their one of the tight ends, John Carlson, to sign with Minnesota. So that's a little bit of a blow to Seattle. But you know, there's still some time left here in free agency to make some moves. And you know, you never know what the draft has in store. For Seattle, but I totally agree. They may need another dynamic weapon on the perimeter that kind of helps them in the passing game a little bit. I think Lynch and, you know, they have a solid running game with Lynch back there.
Definitely.
And real quick, I got to say I'm kind of impressed with what the Buffalo Bills have been doing. I mean, they already got their – Dave Weinstein has taken over the defense this season. They're going to a 4-3 defense. They're getting away from the 3-4. And Kyle Williams and Marcell Dareus is going to be starting defensive tackles. Now you add Mario Williams and Mark Anderson in free agency to take over the two defensive ends positions. I mean, you have an opportunity to maybe have the best defensive line in football. And I think Buffalo has a very underrated secondary already. And in my 3.0 draft, I have been taking Luke Cutchley, linebacker from Boston College. I mean, maybe another piece at linebacker, and you might have one of the better defenses in the league next season.
Yeah, real quick about that, too. I concur, and I think this is one of the situations, too, where they're trying to get stronger defensively because I don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick is the total answer right now at quarterback. I mean, I think he's kind of serviceable right now, and I think teams are starting to figure them out. So I think they're trying to get stronger on defense, try to force some turnovers, and to try to be an aggressive defense, too. So that's kind of where I think, you know. So we'll see. Same thing with the 49ers. You know, they got to make sure if Fitzpatrick is definitely the answer at quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. And Saints got a little bit of good news today after the bounty news broke. They were able to get defensive tackle Broderick Buckley to sign a 5-year, $25 million deal.
Saw that.
Pair him next to Cedric Ellis. And, of course, they were able to sign Ben Grubbs last week to take Carl Nick's place. But the Saints did lose Robert Meacham to the Chargers. The Chargers are expecting him to come in and be a starter. And that's a great move for Robert Meacham. I mean, I think Meacham can catch about 80 balls in that offense with Phillip Rivers next season. So that's a good move for him. And so far, I think we ought to still be impressed with what Tampa Bay has done, getting Carl Nick's and Benson Jackson. Some great moves on their part, and they may be the overall winner so far in free agency, in my opinion. And your Falcons getting John Abraham, I thought that was one of the key pieces for the Falcons to bring back, and they were able to work out a deal with him. What's the latest on Curtis Lofton?
Curtis Lofton is still a free agent, which is kind of surprising, considering that some teams have made some trades. Philadelphia traded for DeMarco Ryans and It's just surprising. So we're not going to have enough time to talk about that. I want to touch real quick on Miami, and they seem like they're the big loser. No one's giving them some props, even though they did sign David Girard. But we'll see what goes on. But 10 seconds, Rob. The OT is over. We'll talk to you same time next week, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
All right. Good night.